Shalom, this is Billy Brim and...
Chip Brim.
How are you related to me?
Your son.
My baby son.
Baby.
You've really liked that, haven't you? Bless the Lord. You know, we do like the special attention and the special place that we have in God. We are each His... He's our very own father, Brother Hagin used to say. And he would say to the Lord, and I'm your very own child. And Chip, I like it when you come over to my house. Mm. I like it when you call me. You're out on the road and you say, hey, Mom, what about this? Or I found this. Or what do you think about this? And it's the scriptures. And that's a blessing to my mother's heart. Well, it's a blessing to God's heart when we seek Him.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm going to just begin to read some scriptures here that, of course, we've been talking about David and how he sought the Lord and how the Lord taught him to seek Him. And here's some other things that come from the Psalm. Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. If you seek God, you're gonna get some joy.
Mm-hmm.
Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 53:2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God.
Mm.
He's looking down. If he just can find someone that seeks him.
He's searching.
He's searching to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
For those whose hearts are toward him, then mm-hmm. he can do something strong. Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 69:32. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Psalm 105:3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore.
Well, there's one scripture, Mom. I think it's Psalm, I wish I'd have looked it up, 89 or something. But it says, I found David. The Lord said this.
Yeah.
I found David.
Yes.
Why? He was seeking
God.
Proverbs says, You seek me, you'll find him.
Yes.
And he found him. And I remember what he told the prophet who picked the wrong brother. No, I don't go by as the world.
The Lord sees not as man sees.
Uh-uh.
Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Heart.
Well, now look at this. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart.
Mm.
Kol Lev, the whole heart. Psalm 119:45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Proverbs 8:17, and this is what we're talking about right now. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Now, son, we talked about time. You have to give the Lord time to seek him. I want you to talk about what he taught you about that.
Well, 3 years after I got the revelation of seeking him and my life changed, I was out preaching. I think I was in Canada on an Indian reservation. And I was pretty fed up with the results of sharing with my whole heart of how this is what you need to do. Seek God. It'll change your life. And just a handful of testimonies. And so I went back to the motel and I said, God, I never quit. I don't want to quit. I don't want to be known as a quitter. I know you call me, but can I go back to coaching? Because at least I can brainwash my kids into being champions. I can with them every day. And I'm just here and there at these churches. And, you know, people go, oh, good word, Chip. Oh, that's a good word. And I appreciate them saying that. But we got to do it. And it'll change your life, you know. And I was right at that point of doing that, and I fell asleep on the bed, and the Lord reminded me of something. I don't know if you call that a whatever you want to call it, but he reminded me of something that actually happened. I was getting my master's degree, and I was in a class. It was a Wednesday night class. It was 2.5 hours long, and the professor was real boring. No, it was actually 3 hours long, and there were 200 people in that class. Now, there's all kinds of people. There was grandmas, farmers, whoever was getting any kind of degree needed to take this certain class. I think it was kinesiology, the body in motion. And he just was real boring. So He was doing his job, but we didn't want to be there. And so we're there, and my roommate Ed and I, we're there, and we had made a pact to make A's, and we did in our master's degree. And we're sitting there struggling to stay awake, and you know, like a lot of people do in church. And I mean, I'm just being honest here. And I've been there, and you know, just doing what we're going through the motions. Well, he started talking about the runner's high, and he said the runner's high or the second wind. And he said the best way to learn something is to experience it. And he said what we're going to do is go out to the track, and we're going to see if we can experience the runner's high. And he said this is a medical term, and it's true, and we need to study about this. So we put our books down, and 200 of us walk across the street, go to the university's football stadium, and he sits down in a chair, pulls out a paper, starts to read it, and we're all sitting there. Well, I went over and asked him, what do you want us to do? And he said, I want you to run until you hit the runner's high. So I came back and told, and everybody wasn't real happy about it, you know. they were starting to say things like, well, we didn't pay $300 for this class to run. And there, bless people's heart, there were some out-of-shape people. And so we began to run. And after one lap, half of them quit. And Ed and I kept going. And after two laps, they all quit. Ed and I were the only ones running. So they quit, they're mad, they won't even look at him. So after four laps, which is now a mile, we start hurting in our side area, like most people do when they just run to the car, you know, when it's raining or something. But I'm joking. But I thought maybe that was the runner's high indication of this pain in the side. So I asked him as I'm jogging by him, is that it? And he puts his paper down, he says, no, that's not it. And I said, well, how will we know? He goes, you'll know. And he smiled. And so we continue to go on, and we go another mile, and we're hurting. And Ed must have had a bad burrito or something, because he said, Chip, I think I'm going to – and he just, you know, just spews. That's a good word on radio. And so I thought, well, that is it. Ed's hitting it. One of the indicators is spewing. So I ran by, and I thought, Ed, you lucky duck, you know. And so I ran by the professor, and I said, is spewing it? And he goes, no, that's not it. And I go, well, how will we know? He smiled, and he said, you'll know. So Ed and I are back on track. We've run another 2 or 3 miles or 4 miles. We got to where we were hurting. Our body was hurting. Places in my body that never hurt started hurting, like toenails and hair and the whole, let's just put it in an animated way. The inside of my body was going, it's going to blow. You know what I mean? And so I really was having a conversation between my mind and body, just lay down and die. I mean, just, you're that, it's that painful. It was that. And so right at that particular time, something happened in my body. This is not spiritual now. This is natural. This is, and it's something shot in me like a drug, and all the pain went away. And I began to sprint. My body rose up, and I began to sprint. And I knew that I got it. I got it. And I was on this high. And Ed got it, you know. And so we're running
around. About the same time you got it?
Yeah, not too far apart.
Uh-huh.
And we're sprinting, and we're running around. And so he said, all right, everybody, go back. Now, we're on a high. Ed and I are on this high. We're just, woohoo, you know, we're on this high. And so 198 came back to that classroom, not happy. Board, but two of us were like, woohoo, we're just high five. We can't even hardly talk. We're chest bumping, kind of like church sometimes, where you have a whole lot of people coming to church, and then you have the people coming, woohoo. You see what I'm saying? And so all of a sudden we're in there, and he said, well, what Ed and Chip did is they hit the runner's high. Now, the rest of you quit too soon. He even got a little mad at him. He said, you quit too soon. You stopped too soon. Experience this for yourself, and there's no better teaching way than to experience it. And he started saying to us, would you do it again? Was it worth it? Is it a high? And we're answering all this, and we're on this high. We can't believe what. And he said, well, what had happened? It's a medical term. And he says, what happens in your body when it's about to get to this position of just dying is it will release a hormone from your brain called endorphins, and it will release it. And he said, it's more powerful than morphine. And so we're on this high. This morphine is the drug they give to the painfulest surgeries, you know, the patients and stuff. And so Ed and I, we can't even explain it, but here it is. And he said, was it worth it? And we said, yes. Would you do it again? Yes. It was just, you know, we were just like ecstatic. And he said, that's how come marathon runners can run 26 miles. They train to know when they hit this. They've tapped into this. And so the Lord said to me, and here's what he said to me as I was laying in my bed getting ready to quit the ministry because people weren't seeking God. He said, just as there is a natural runner's high, there is a spiritual runner's high. There's a spiritual high. But my people have quit too soon. They have stopped and not experienced this. Mm-hmm. It will take over their inside. It'll take over their personality. The Holy Spirit will take over and clothe you and possess you, and you won't be the same Christian. You'll be coming in, woohoo, what is this? And some people look at ministers on TV and they judge them for their personalities, or they'll say this and that, but they have stopped too soon and not have hit where they have hit spiritually. Are you with me on
that?
Yes,
yes.
And we need to not stop. Wherever you're at, pick it up. Keep going. You may have to, you feel like throwing up in the spirit. You may feel like you don't want to pray and it hadn't been working. You may want to feel like stop confessing. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And you'll hit the spiritual high and your life will change.
Yes, now God showed you that he put that in there. He put those endorphins.
Yes. Do we have enough time to share
do.
That? Okay, uh-huh. Well, I came home and my wife was watching Larry King and he was interviewing a hunter who got attacked by a grizzly bear and the bear ate his leg off. And he even watched the bear eat his leg off. And Larry asked him, how did it feel? And I couldn't believe he asked that. And he did. And he said, well, I didn't feel anything. And Larry goes, you had to. It was a 2,000-pound grizzly bear. Ate your leg off. He said, so there was a doctor there with this guy. And he said, Doc, is he telling the truth? And he said, and the doc said, just as there, he said, the runner's high. He said, the same thing happened in his body. When your body gets to a place where it's going to die or it just gets into panic, it doesn't know what to do, it will release this hormone called endorphins. He said, that's what happened to him. That's what happens to runners. And the Lord said to me, who created the body? I'm sitting there watching this, and he whispers it in my ear. He said, who created the body? And I said, Lord, you did. And he said, don't you think I knew about endorphins? And I said, yeah. I mean, it's not like God created the body, and then he goes, oh, cool, endorphins. That'll come in handy for hunters who get lost or you know, marathon runners or whatever. He had a purpose for those endorphins. And then he asked me, he said, you want to know why I created them? I said, yes, Lord. And he said, the martyrs.
Yes.
I believe that. I can't back that scripturally, but I believe it. And I started thinking about in the scripture of all that they tried to boil John and he felt nothing.
And there's case after case of martyrs who say when they were being burned at the stakes, they were praising God. And
spiritual endorphin. But see,
they
did it. They didn't quit.
No. That's right.
And that spiritual high came on them.
Brother Hagin said, most people have never prayed in the spirit. They've never reached that place in the spirit because they didn't pray long enough to get there.
Or getting over that log.
You pray long enough to get there. You pray in tongues long enough. It took him the first time he did it 4 hours and 45 minutes, I believe it was, or 5 hours and 45 minutes. Now he said, I can do it in about 10 minutes or 5 minutes.
He's trained.
Or I can get over there in the spirit right away.
Train, just like marathon runners. They train. They know when to hit it.
Train your spirit. Seek God. Let this be the year that you
walk in
God's presence. You've spent time with him. Shalom, shalom.